We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hong Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
This week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, one I'm very excited to conduct, along with John Warren, Mike Parker, with Destiny Slocum. We'll get to Destiny and get her a rather amazing story here in just a moment. But as always, we want to thank Hum Kombucha, our presenting sponsor. Hum Kombucha, the Beaver Sports Podcast presenter, made possible by Hum Kombucha. And as we experienced last week, John, for the first time, fizzy, delicious, and made with antioxidants, probiotics, all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend. We don't actually have the coconut lime or the mango passion fruit or the hopped grapefruit with us today, or the berry version that I had. I wish we did. I thought it enhanced the show last week.
Well, yeah, the hopped grapefruit was great. And apparently, I don't pay attention to these things, it's like freakishly good for you.
Yeah. So that's cool. Now, I'm not going to put Destiny Slocum on the spot and say, you know, are you a partaker of Hum Kombucha? But if you have anything to say about that, that's fine. If not, Destiny, thanks for taking time for us. Welcome to Oregon State. This is overdue from our standpoint because you've been here a long time now. But you're back on the court after complying with the NCAA transfer rules. What's it like to be back full swing and knowing that you're fully part of the team ready to play this year?
Well, thank you, first off, for having me. You know, this is really exciting. I think it's something I've really been waiting for since last year, just watching them go through their journey, and I'm happy just to finally be a part of it.
You know, sitting out's never easy because you want to play. It was a really good article done by Steve Gress about that process for you. Maybe we could get your thoughts on, you know, working out, not playing, but having it, you know, you want to so bad, and I can see it in the way you practice. You're loving it out there.
Yeah, it was really hard kind of going through everything last year, and like when we went through preseason, everything felt normal. It felt like my freshman year, like just kind of like everything I did, I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to play, and then you step out for the game, and it's like, I can't dress down, I can't warm up, and it's like, wow, this is real. I really can't play for a year. But I think to change my mindset, kind of, I had to look at it in a positive way, and I mean, for me, it's like I use that year to get super healthy, make sure everything was perfect so that when I came back this year, I could be the best player for my team.
to get as healthy as you possibly could be, do you feel the difference? I mean, the rigor, the wear and tear of a long season. You'd played 35 games, going 32-3 in Maryland your freshman year. Did you feel a difference not having that toll exacted during the course of what was a long season for the Beavers?
Yeah, that jump from high school to college is kind of a mystery. You never know how it's going to go. And I think for me, that was a really, really big toll on my body. And then to be able to come in here and make sure that when I get on the floor this year, everything's kind of good and I'm like feeling great. And so I think it ended up being actually a really good positive for me to be able to sit out. So
you probably didn't view it that way right at the outset.
never right at the beginning, but I mean over time it took time, and then realizing like to develop as a better teammate. I mean, there's no better teammate. Someone I literally sat on the bench every single day, and it's like I had to find joy in making sure my teammates, watching my teammates get better, watching them get success. And for me now, it's like all I love. And so that really was a perspective change.
Did you practice better? Because that was the only time you got to play.
I took practice pretty seriously. I actually played in the corner last year behind Kat at the three. And so like it was a whole different perspective for me from that position. But I mean, if you ever shot behind Kat Tudor, you got to make some shots. So
yeah.
It helped me to kind of see everything from there. And like just I'd crash the boards really hard. And they're like, you have so much energy. I'm like, well, this is the only time I can get it out. So.
And you also had to play the other team's point guards in scout preparation, which I'm sure helped the Beavers a good deal because you were emulating some very good guards in this league.
That was fun on my end because like I was able to like sometimes be the one again, and like I was like, all right, this is like where I like this is where I am.
Yeah.
But as anything I could do to help them, you know, in practice to make them better was important to me, and that was like my main goal last year.
Well, Destiny, let's get to a story that you told often, but just hearing you talk about the enthusiasm for practice and enjoying practice and going hard in practice, as we read a number of articles about the why and the wherefore of going from Meridian outside of Boise all the way back to College Park, and then after a year there coming to Oregon State. One of the things you talked about it in a lot of ways just wasn't the right fit. You kind of knew it in your soul. But you also were quoted as saying there were times back there and the style and different things that you were, quote, dreading practice, that it was becoming something that was not as fun for you. The game had always been fun, but it wasn't there. If you don't mind re-exploring that, I know it may be still sensitive material a little bit, but it sounds like when you got here, the fun came back.
Yeah, I mean, it was really just like I never really knew, okay, I'm gonna have to take you back to when I was getting recruited.
Sure.
Like I was very always I never knew where I really wanted to go ever, and so the whole entire process kind of hit me really, really hard, especially being I went from being not ranked at all to one summer jumping to number four. And so it kind of got super overwhelming. So initially I had committed to Washington and I was there for a year, and then I was like, this doesn't feel right either. And then I kind of cut my list really, really fast. And then I ended up at Maryland, which Maryland is a great program, a great school. There's great people there. It just wasn't, when I say it wasn't the right fit for me, it was like, you're supposed to feel like you belong somewhere off and on the floor. And there I was like, okay, I belong here on the floor. Like they play a good style of basketball. This is fun. But for some reason, something kept telling me, like, this is not where your career is supposed to go, no matter how good I played. Like, when I won National Freshman Year, I rethought. I was like, man, maybe this is the place for me. Like, I'm having a good basketball mm-hmm. career. People were telling me, stay, because, like, your career could be really good there. And I was like, something doesn't feel right. Like, I just don't enjoy the game like I always have. And it has nothing to do with Maryland. It was just when you're not in the right place, I think, and you – something else was calling me. And then when I transferred, I went on my visit here and I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And it was an immediate feeling. And like everyone's always told me, like, you'll know when you're at the right place. And like not until I got here have I felt that. And it's like unexplainable kind of.
And did it stay that way in the year that you've been here and just grow like, absolutely, this is where you should be?
Yeah, literally the day I stepped on campus, I remember going to classes and I was walking up the I was walking up the street and I was like, man, I was like, my campus is beautiful. I got to go to practice. I'm like, I've never been a fan of Orange, and now I'm a fan of Orange. And like everything just like kind of fell into place. And it was like, even my parents, my mom was like, Destiny, this is where you're supposed to be. And like I would have never, just because I wanted to go really far leaving college or leaving high school, I wanted to go really, really far. And so I never looked anywhere in Oregon really. And like So I wouldn't have looked here. So it was almost like I had to go to Maryland to find here. And so it's like a really fun journey, but really stressful at the same time. But I'm just happy it all worked out.
We're glad it has, too, Destiny. When she shares this, John, it reminds me of Sammy Strotter's recruiting story. Sammy played football here in the mid-2000s and was one of the best receivers ever. But when he was being recruited, he said he was just walking across campus and he stopped and felt in his heart, had that moment. This is where I'm supposed to be. We don't always in our lives get those sorts of moments, but I've read that, I mean, that you prayed a lot about the decision. So you just felt like there was an answer somewhere in there for you.
Yeah, it was really, honestly, when I say just a feeling, like I remember coming on my visit, meeting everyone, and I was like, okay, they're so genuine. I was like, there's no way I can find a school where I actually, like, this is where I feel like I should be. And it, for a place where, like, I feel like I get better as a basketball player, they make me a better person. We do so much community service. And, like, that's how I feel like I want to be bigger than an athlete. And that's what they do here. And so that's one thing that really, drew me in, too. That's what it is. So I was, like, drew me in. Like, I don't know. I was, like, sounding so weird. But it's, like, what drew me in, just that I'm going to be more than an athlete when I leave Oregon State, that people are going to remember me for more than just a basketball player. And I don't feel like a lot of people pay attention to that. And I feel like that's why it's so special to play with these girls, because we all think the same. It's like, I want to be more than an athlete when I leave Oregon State.
Did Oregon State line up with your academic needs as well?
Yeah, I was kind of really just floating in the air. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was a business major at Maryland and then a kinesiology major. I switched over. And then now I'm a digital communication arts major. And so, like, I found what I liked actually here, because they're one of the only schools that offer it.
Oh, nice.
So it worked out good.
Yeah.
I want to get to, and Trevor Kramer was kind enough to let us in on something, and maybe you could share a little bit more just about your heart for service and community service, that you and Michaela Pivick have apparently gotten together. You want to put some organization to it, and not just, hey, we want to serve our community. But it looks, sounds like, Destiny, you and Michaela have at least begun to form something that will give some direction to that. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, me and Michaela had the great opportunity to go in the Dominican Republic this summer and do some service trips. And for me, it was life-changing. I know for Michaela it was too. And we came back and we're like, man, we need to start something. Like, we do a lot of community service as, like, solo teams. So, like, basketball will do it and gymnastics. Mm-hmm. But it's like, man, we have so many athletes who are, like, so looked up to. And there's so many things that we could do that would combine us all to bring, like, service to not only Corvallis, but pretty much all of Oregon. And so I know for us, one thing we're trying to get planned is maybe a trip to the cancer hospital. That's like things that we want to do. We want to feed the homeless, like more than just kind of like small stuff, but like the big impactful stuff. And I know for me, that's one thing that I hope I can leave here when I leave Corvallis. It's called a community service club, but just kind of leave that here so people can carry it on and just realize like the platform that we have is so much bigger than we know, and people look up to us in such a big way. And so to use it as just to be an athlete is doing a disservice to yourself.
Very nice. I know there's Beavers Without Borders, but you're talking locally, and yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that would continue, and you can get athletes from all the different sports.
Yeah, no, this is, hopefully it takes off. I mean, we had our first meeting the other day. It was a little low in count, but we're on our way. And, you know, in all truth, it's people will be led there when they see it and just kind of through what we do. And hopefully that we can get like a little, like, get it out there so people can come.
Destiny, when you talk about so many, you know, people look up to us, and that's a wide range of people that do that. Young people, certainly. I've seen, we've all seen the love fest that occurs after games on the court at Gill, where just people are all over the court after games, mostly victories. You experienced that last year when you were here. But when I think about the legacies of people such as Sidney Weiss and Jamie Weisner and Ruth Hamblin and Devin Hunter and Gabby Hansen and Marie Goulish and so many more, did you kind of get a feel of that even when you were in Meridian, Idaho in high school and even back at Maryland? Were you kind of aware that there was a culture here that you felt like, again, you've already said it a little bit, but were you aware of those players I just mentioned and their commitment to being part of the community?
I honestly didn't know a lot about Oregon State when I was back home. I knew a lot about it when I was at Maryland, because they had just went to the Final Four the year before. And so I was kind of aware of who was here. I paid attention last year. or the year before. And so that's the kind of small, I like knew small things, but I didn't really like pay attention that much, unless it was like, it's hard to not to know like a UConn player or like the big, big ones that are always like top two, top three. And so those are kind of who I knew. But Oregon State was kind of new, like, but I've learned a lot over the last year, which has been exciting and fun.
Well, I mean, you're here. You see these facilities compared. I don't know what it's like at Maryland, but other places that you've been, you had to realize fairly quickly that this is the big time now here at Oregon State.
Yeah, no, this is when I went. I remember looking at the banners. I was like, yeah, you guys did go to the Final Four. And I was like, they're like, yeah, we went to the Final Four. And I was like, and then I remember when I was at Maryland, I remember watching, it was actually crazy, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings after we had just lost to Oregon, and I was sitting with my teammate, and Oregon State was playing Florida State on the TV, and I was like, that's my future team right there. Oh, wow. And then I was like, you guys did go to the Sweet 16. I watched your game. And I was like, but you guys lost to Florida State. And then I was like, oh, wait, we lost to Florida State. And then so it's like kind of fun just to kind of figure it out and like realize like this is an elite program that gets really, I mean, overlooked. Like it's Scott's built this thing from almost nothing. And so it's kind of fun to like be a part of the legacy, but it's like also still building.
Oh, yeah. We were talking, Destiny, before we even turned the microphone on, and I've already referenced your freshman year. You were the National Freshman of the Year, not just the Big Ten, but the National Freshman of the Year. Your team went 32-3. You went to the Sweet 16. You hit a three-quarter court shot. Did you read about that? I haven't seen this. I should YouTube it. I assume I can YouTube Destiny Slocum 70-footer. In a tournament game. Well, so tell us, I know that you're here now and you're a Beaver, but to have those things happen, to hit a 70-footer in the tournament, to score 20-plus against UConn, you had some good moments on the court.
No, yeah, my freshman year was surely a journey. It was exciting, and I'm happy that, I mean, I could spend my year there at Maryland. I was grateful for it. But, you know, I'm more excited. Like, all that is so fun and great, but, like, all that's so individual, you know what I mean? And I want to win a national championship, and to get knocked out in the Sweet 16 by Oregon erased everything, that all that stuff. And so, like, for me, my biggest goal here is, like, just to win a national championship, and, like, all that stuff will come with it, you know what I mean?
You're going to get more shots at
Oregon. I was just going to say that. They left a little thing in your heart. You get two, maybe three more shots at them.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a fun rivalry in general. I mean, you know, last year's game at Gill, and it's going to be fun. It's exciting. Yeah.
Okay, but what about the 70-footer? I haven't seen it, so tell me, was it an overhand shot? Two, you know, I mean, was it an inbound pass with momentum and you took? And I mean, how do you hit a 70-footer?
So the girl from West Virginia has scored the layup, and we had been joking about it around and shoot around to throw like a soccer throwing shot because I can throw it farther that way. And so like there was 3 seconds on the clock and I like curled to go get the ball and the girl was right in front of me. I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to throw a chest pass. So I like literally just threw it over my head and it went flying and it went in. And I was like, what the heck? And my teammates came running out and they're like jumping on me. I'm like, did I really just make that? And then I was like ESPN number one that night. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest moment of my life. I really thought I was gonna be on like the ESPYs or something.
Yeah. That's you great. And that was you're telling us, so you were passing the ball forward. Or were like, you trying to make a shot?
No, I was trying to, like, I threw it up there to make it.
Okay.
But, like, I didn't think it was actually going to go in. And it went in. Like, I was like, I just threw it because it was halftime. I was like, what the heck?
That's great. That's especially soccer throw-in style. That's not easy.
People were like making fun of me on Twitter, though. They were like, why would you throw the ball like that? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it was because I can throw it farther that way.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Last few things with Destiny. I've got to ask you, and I don't know if this is, you know, having seen Finding Nemo, you're a clownfish, make us laugh, you know, as they say underwater, be funny, you're a clownfish, be funny. I read a story by Andrew Greif, formerly of the Oregonian, with Marie saying of you that you are the funniest person that she's ever met. So I don't know how you just, okay, now be funny, entertain us, but that teammates of yours would pay to see you do stand-up, the article also said. So entertain us, make us laugh, but now I don't mean that really, Destiny, but where does the sense of humor come from? Is it in your family? You just look at life through a lens that you see funny things?
Honestly, like I wouldn't even call it a sense of humor. I think it's just like my personality. Like before practice, they'll turn on the music and it's like, I just want to dance, but it's not like to get anybody to pay attention to me. I'm just like, weird. Like, I have to be honest. I'm just, like, weird. Like, I just do stuff just to have fun, and I don't really care what people think. And I think that's the one thing that Marie always just would, like, she'd be like, why do you dance like that? And she'd just laugh. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just want to have fun. Like, it's practice, and nobody's going to dance before practice because it's practice. But then it's, like, then there's a culture now. It's, like, everybody dances before practice. And so to build that, you know, just to be able to, like, share that with people and liven up their day. Like, someone told me the other day, they were like, you know what? Like, if I'm having a bad day, it's like, you never have a bad day, and you come in here and you're always smiling. And it's like, she's like, I don't know how, but it makes me want to be happy. And I was like, that's the best thing I could do for someone. You know, if they're having a bad day, then like come to me and be like, let's have fun. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Cause like, it's just who I am. And I just want to literally make people happy. That's probably it.
Was it a little less when you were going through that period where you felt like you just didn't fit in?
No, it's probably more. Yeah. Like that was the thing that kind of kept me up is, is being, as we would say, extra. I'm extra. But, like, just kind of, like, doing anything I can so that I can feel a part of the team. And, like, the one thing is like, basketball, I felt a part of the team in practice. But, like, before games, like, I genuinely cheered them for them so loud because that's just who I am. And, like, that's my personality. Or, like, before games, we made handshakes up. And, like, anything I could do to kind of connect myself with them in a different, like, different way off the court. And I think my personality fits kind of well for that. Yeah. And so I'd never been really in that position to kind of be able to do that. And so it's kind of fun to explore that.
Listen to this one, though, John. And I want to see if she can play along in a moment as we continue our Beaver Sports podcast with Destiny Slocum, brought to you in part by the Heat Pump Store, your local ductless heating and cooling experts. Join the ductless revolution from the Heat Pump Store. The same article by Andrew made me laugh. So you did. You've already made me laugh just by the story that he told of you using your fist as a microphone before Marie's final games at Gill and interviewing her and getting this real serious furrowed brow. What will your emotions be like for the? You remember it that way? Tell us a little bit about the fun you had doing that kind of thing.
Like, it was fun because it was Marie, and, like, she plays along so well, too.
She tried to fake tears. Right?
She did, and it was fun, you know, just knowing, like, in a moment like that, where it's, like, one of her last games in Gill, that I could do that for her, kind of. And she, like, gets me, though, where she's like, all right, Destiny's going to hold a fake mic to me. Like, I bought a real mic this at the beginning of the year last year, and I carried it around everywhere. And we, like, filmed kids on campus and, like, asked them how their first day of school was. And then so everywhere I went, like, we did, like, a fake mic thing. And so it was, like, a little thing between me and Marie.
I like that.
Well,
like
you
that.
Might have a future in this business.
Well, let me ask you, though, you know, the furrowed brow was the part that Greif wrote that you get real serious. You've been interviewed a lot. We're interviewing you. You'll be interviewed a lot more in your days to come here and certainly in the stage you were at in College Park. Are there some things that we in the business that you're amused by at times, or just not just yourself, but the whole media in general, that you observe and are somewhat amused by, or do you like it? I mean, do you think you'd like to do it yourself someday? What are some observations you have about the media?
Like, everyone has always told me, they're like, Destiny, you should be a sports broadcaster. You should do a radio show. You should have a vlog. And I'm like, no. Like, I just never, like, I think it's so fun and everything, but I also get stage fright. Like, I get really nervous when it's just me. And so, like, people don't know that. They think that, like, oh, Destiny never gets stage fright. She's never nervous. I'm like, no. I get very nervous. I just cover it with, like, being weird.
I totally get that. If you're goofing around and no one's paying attention and you're having some fun, that's one thing. If everyone stops and stares, that changes it completely.
I used to be, like, want to be an actress when I was little, so I used to do, like, acting stuff, and I used to get so nervous all the time for it. And my mom's like, you're just going on stage. Nobody's even paying attention to you. And then I have a solo, like, on singing or something like that. I'm like, oh no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm like the most nervous person when it comes to like things like that. I'm like, I can't do it. Yeah. I could never do this.
Well, we're not, you know, they'd pay to see her do stand up, but it sounds like they couldn't pay you enough. Right?
No, no. I would, and then I'd be like, I don't have a joke. And they'd be like, just be you. I'm like, well, this, I can't just be me like randomly.
Right, no, it all comes from the heart and spontaneously. And it's delightful. I can tell and look forward to kind of seeing how that all plays out the next few years here as you come to Oregon State. There's so many more layers to your story about coming here, and even when you made the decision, you've already shared sort of that moment in your heart that you knew this was the right place. Let's close with a thought a little bit about the basketball ahead, Destiny, and how what you saw last year in the sitting the year, but this year, as you get ready for the season, you've said several times here, I want to win a national championship. Do you believe when you look around and what's happening here that that's a goal that you guys believe you could deliver on?
You know, the thing is like I think we have all the right pieces for a team that can go far in the tournament. And I think if we stay together, you know, a team breaks from within. And so the greatest thing about our team this year is that we are really, really excited for each and every one of us to do better. Like every time we step on in practice, it's so much different because it's like every person is like, okay, like we'll do like shoot around and we're like, oh, okay, this person got a higher number than yesterday. Let's cheer them on. And like some teams aren't like that where it's like, man, I'm mad. I want to beat this person. But everything we do is like a team competitiveness. And it's like we compete to make each other better because we all have the same goal and all have the same mindset. And so I think us having all the right pieces, you know, and us having that mindset, and if we can sustain that, and, you know, we have the best staff in the country. I mean, they're going to prepare us for games better than anyone. I think we have the right pieces to go far.
Who takes the role of leader when things aren't going well?
I think that's what's unique about our team. I feel like we have, like, a bunch of those. Like, I feel like in general, Mick speaks up, Katie, me. Like, I think us three kind of, like, are the ones that people like will like say majority of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Aaliyah speaks up. She's a point guard too. Everyone kind of says their own thing. Kat speaks up. So I wouldn't say there's like one person that you're like, we go to and we're like, okay, mm-hmm. tell us what we need to do. It's more like, hey, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. What do you have to say? Let's take it in. And then let's like figure out which one works best, you know, or like, let's figure out what we do. And so I think everyone, majority of people like, a lot have a voice. And even our freshmen, like they'll say something and I'm like, okay, like talk to us, tell us what you need us to do. And so everyone in their own way is kind of a leader on this team. And so it's kind of interesting to see when we're in practice because you don't know who it's going to be that day.
The National Freshman of the Year at Maryland two seasons ago, averaging 11.5 points per game, 6 assists, the 20-plus point game against UConn. So many things that you did on the court the last time you were eligible to play, you had to sit out last year. But Destiny, as a true point guard, that's the term I hear about you, the number 7 player in the country ultimately when you came out of high school at that position. What in your mind is the primary job, your primary job with this team as the point guard and the weapons you have, you know, at the wings and in the post, et cetera? What do you feel like your main job is?
You know, to set my teammates up for success. That's always the one thing. I think as a point guard, to be able to lead the team when I come down on offense and defense and just kind of make sure everyone's on the right page. But then also doing my job to get them open and get them open looks. And through that will come my shot. I've always learned that as a point guard. They always say, like, screeners get shots. Well, I always say, like, people who can draw defenses and make open shots, like, those are the people that are end up getting shot. So for me, just kind of like getting my teammates open is one thing for me. That's like my big, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Like, what's your favorite stat then?
Oh, assists for sure. I love scoring. Scoring's fun. But for me, I feel like as a point guard, I feel like if I was to see like 10 assists in a game, I'm like, man, I did a good job because of the fact that it's like I created those shots to give to people. And then, I mean, I know they're happy because they got points.
Well, not only that, but if you get 10 assists, that means you had a direct hand in 20 points.
Or more.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So that's the one thing is I've always been pass first. And I know that's one thing that they try to help me is like, they're like, Destiny, you have a shot when you come off the screen. And I'm like, you're right, you're right. I can't pass every time. And so just kind of creating that balance where it's like I'm creating for my team, but I'm also realizing when I'm open as well.
We'll close with this because we I've talked to Coach Ruick about players, and players themselves have been honest enough to say that when they get here from whatever high school level they were at, they understand pretty quickly the importance of defense. And if you don't play for Scott, I mean, that you work as hard at that end of the floor as you do the other. What about your mentality that you took with you to Maryland, that you bring with you here? Is that always something you were – were you a willing defender? Because, Sydney Weiss had to admit she didn't really even know what it was until she got here. So what about for you?
All through, like, AAU, my AAU coach was, like, super heavy on defense. Yeah. And then I went to Maryland, and they were super heavy on offense. And so I didn't really have to, like, I don't want to say try that hard, but it was more like, let's just score more points than the other team. who cares if they score 100 on us? At least if we score 101, we won. And then I came here, and I'm, like, getting hit by screens. I'm, like, not in help defense. And he's, like, Scott's, like, Destiny, we need to work on your defense. And I was, like, okay. And I'm, like, I kind of took it personal. I'm, like, I'm a good defender. Like, I think I'm a good defender. And then I'm, like, I think I'm a good defender. And then I realized I was not that great of a defender in general. And now it's like this year, after going through that entire year, this year it's like, no, I'm going to defend. I'm going to get through screens. And so I take a pride in defense now. And I actually have fun playing defense, which is kind of weird. I thought I'd never say that. But it's kind of fun to mess with people and kind of like get to like block them. Like I'll come from behind and like block some of the bigs and practice. I'm like, let's go. But you have to take pride in your defense when you're here. You're not going to get on the floor without it. So.
Well, we're glad that you're taking that kind of pride and joy in it. Johnny, anything else as we wrap it up?
Well, I've been watching practices, and Destiny's got an incredible shot. So take those shots off the screen after you dish and get your 20 assists.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Okay. Yeah, we're coaching Destiny up here now. Yeah. No, but thank you so much, Destiny. It's a delight. I can see what Marie was getting at, and just the ebullience and liveliness of your personality. I feel better, you know, just having visited with you. Thanks for taking time for us. We look forward to seeing you finally get on the court soon with the Beavers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Can't wait.
Yeah, great. I'm looking forward to the Canada trip. I'm looking forward to seeing your team this year. You guys are so much bigger now. It's there's a lot of potential with this team, and last year's team was great. So.
Thanks Destiny. We appreciate it. It's Destiny Slocum, our guest. Digital art she has found. Remember, being a Beaver has its perks, and Oregon State University grads are already qualified for a scholarship towards earning their OSU MBA, so Destiny could get that after the digital arts degree. The MBA in Portland, Bend, Corvallis, or online. Visit mba.oregonstate.edu/beaver today. John, you live now in Albany, so every day when you come to town for work such as this, what are you doing?
I'm visiting Corvallis. Experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis and extend your stay to take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game and stay to play. I was thinking of floating down the river, that I wanted to exclude that, but you would say no. Keep that in.
When you visit Corvallis, have you floated the river? We'll close with, floated the river yet?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a little long and slow, but it was. Yeah.
Did you float the Boise River when you were up there?
Yeah, I float the Boise River all the time.
You like the Boise? Is the Boise River better than the Willamette for a float? Careful now.
It's a little faster. It's nice, though.
Yeah, and you play the game fast. I get that. Okay. Right. Hey, thanks a lot, Destiny. When you visit Corvallis, float the river and enjoy all the things that Corvallis has to offer. Visit Corvallis.com. Our thanks to Destiny Slocum for this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by Hum Kombucha. We'll see you next week. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.